Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow.
That was KJP hanging up on me earlier today. Did you hear that, Sue? When KJP
hanging
called
up on
the
you?
Show and then I asked her a question and she hung up. No, that's actually Mark Garrison, who's a talk show host in North Carolina, and KJP was on his show yesterday and did not like being asked real questions. She didn't like that at all. So
in the end, she
just hung up on the dude. But we'll get to that. I have an audio cut of the day. Actually, I have some really, really amazing audio from Vanderbilt University. And this is awesome because there were a bunch of student protesters that were blocking the chancellor's office. And they actually did the right thing at Vanderbilt. They took care of the police. And they suspended some of the students who were acting like idiots.
Huh?
They ordered food for the cops. They
ordered Panera. Look at that.
They kept the kids from eating in the hallways because they weren't supposed to be there in the first place. So
good.
I want to offer an example of a university, a rare instance in academia where they may have managed, you know, pro-Hamas terrorists the right way. I'll get to that here in just a little bit. We have Tom Ackerman joining us. I have good news and bad news. The good news is that I am... And I've made this clear, and I don't think it's even, you know, remotely arguable at this point. My predictions in the sports world, and I have evidence of this with my gambling tickets that I make on NFL weekends, horrible, horrible, right? But, man, I've got bad feelings about the Cardinals this year. So the good news is that my feelings are usually the opposite. But Tom Ackerman's going to join us, and he's going to give us a hopeful preview of this season that starts in Los Angeles tomorrow. I mean, you just don't know.
No.
We started last season not thinking it was going to be one of the worst in decades, right?
No.
I look at a lot of predictions, and most people think that, and this could make it fun for the season, that the National League Central is going to be relatively close between the Cubs and the Cardinals, and maybe the Brewers as a wild card. And some people think the Reds have something going, too.
Oh, that's interesting.
We'll see. We shall see. Drew Holden is back with us. He writes on the media for the Free Beacon. And some of you might remember last week I went over his Hall of Fame post that he blasted out a couple Saturdays ago on the fourth anniversary of 15 days to stop the spread. I invited Drew to come on here and highlight some more of this because I think it is something that people need to remember what happened 4 years ago and beyond. Drew Holden, congratulations on a lengthy, awesome thread. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks so much for having me back on the program. And yeah, we're 4 years hence. I can hardly believe it.
When you see this, and I retweeted your thread, as I know, you know, probably millions of other people did across the country as well, but it is a good reminder of what was going on 4 years ago. And you make it very clear, because I think you even stop yourself to say, look, we get that in the early days of the pandemic, things were a little, you know, unclear, and there were a lot of people, in particular old people, who were dying. But then, you know, you get into the summer in particular, June, July, when we're starting to talk about going back to school. I remember this period very well mm-hmm. because I was getting ready to, you know, hold classes for my then kindergarten student in my home on Zoom. But there was such nonsense that was being said and, you know, blasted all over the interwebs, et cetera. You kind of compiled it all in this Hall of Fame thread, didn't you?
Well, Thank you. Thank you for describing it as such. But I did. Yeah, you know, Mark, I think that's a really good point. You know, there was so little we knew about the virus back in those early days. But one of the things we did know pretty definitively is that kids didn't face the same risk as adults did. Right. And there was all this fear mongering from Democrats, particularly from voices in the media saying, well, we don't know. We don't know. You know, I remember that one of the pieces in the thread was an ABC News fact check. And whenever I see fact checks, I look and I think to myself, oh, this is going to be very fact free.
Yes, exactly.
They had fact checked Trump and former Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos saying that children get better quicker, and said that, oh, we don't know. That's still kind of unclear. There was a New York Times headline from a week later that just had that as the headline. It said children return faster. Not clear why, but we know that it's true.
Yeah, so there were, as you highlighted, there were so many different things that, and I read through some of these on the air last week for people to be reminded, like The Atlantic calling the reopening, because some of this really started kicking in when you got into the reopening of the states, and Missouri was not as restrictive, certainly, as the states on the East Coast and Florida, et cetera. So the headline was Georgia's experiment in human sacrifice. Georgians are now the largely unwilling canaries in an invisible coal mine sent out to find just how many individuals need to lose their job or their life to state work through a plague. That was just one of the samples. And it gets worse after that, I think.
I think so, too. You know, there was a Washington Post headline that said that states that were reopening were making a deadly mistake. And, you know, one of the things that always gets me on these is the editorial choices around the pictures that accompany these graphics.
Right.
And with this piece, there was a picture of that guy who went to all the beaches in Florida dressed up as the Grim Reaper walking around. Right. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was like an anti-DeSantis guy. And it was incredible. Right. It's like they really, the folks in the media really wanted you to be desperately afraid of all of this. And they really wanted to take any Republican governor who, mind you, this wasn't in March. This was in late April, in May, where you have these states that are finally starting to reopen. It's not right after 15 days to slow the spread. This is a month and a half after all of that.
Or beyond.
And you have all... Or in a lot of cases, so much further beyond.
I can't remember if you had this one. This was one of my favorites, and I just Googled it so I'd have it here because it was one of the most, and I knew at the time that it was going to be ridiculous. Christine Brennan at USA Today wrote a piece September 16th of 2020, because you remember, we're going back into the baseball season was in a weird way taking place, very restricted, no fans. You had college football going on in some conferences, but others were backing off. So this was the headline: Big Ten's decision to play football signals darkest day in the conference's sports. That was the darkest day. That did not age well. A day later, 10 days later, 6 months later, and certainly 4 years later. It was a ridiculous, you know, take, a ridiculous hot take that was embarrassing. A lot of us called it out at the time. But that's the type of fear-mongering that was going on regularly in the legacy media.
It was. And you know, Mark, one of the things that I remember I used to do shortly after that period of time was check back in on what the death tolls actually look like in some of these states that reopened. And, you know, I remember looking back on it in early 2021, so about a year after the restrictions had lifted, and deaths per 100,000 people in Florida were more than 100 lower, right? It was about 150 in Florida versus about 250 per 100,000 in New York, in Massachusetts, in New Jersey, in Rhode Island. Right. Like you have all of these states that they thought that walking down was going to be the only way to save people. And their death tolls were consistently higher than places that did reopen. Right. There was never any effort to look back and try and reckon with any of these ridiculous predictions that not only didn't come true, but cost people their livelihoods. Right. They cost kids their schooling. They cost people their health from being cooped up inside. It was truly horrible.
Well, and I just wonder if there's any, you know, I go to Christine Brennan, but really more so Randy Weingarten and some of these people that, you know, devastated kids, because let's face it, they still won't acknowledge the damage that they've done to this country, to the young people of this country. You know, we were, Drew, you know this. I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here on 97.1 FM Talk. We were, what, giving tickets out to people who wanted to go to the beaches. We were trying to keep people from fresh air. The whole thing. You still have people, every once in a while I see people here in St. Louis wearing masks. There was this poll that came out last week. Did you see this? That 40% of Democrats, 40% of Democrats still today think we're in a pandemic, that the pandemic is ongoing. How frightening is that?
Yeah. It's insane, right? And like, and what I think really terrifies me is all of these, so many of those people polled, they have kids, right? And they're raising them in bubbles or not sending them back to school or whatever it is. And, you know, I think when we step back and look at the pandemic, I wrote a piece back in December of 2020, an opinion piece that highlighted some of the things that we knew about what lockdowns would do to people, right? From a health perspective, from a mental health perspective, for kids in schools. We knew all these things going into all of this. And so the people who are still trying to really kind of lock themselves in a bubble and cling to this kind of mirage of I have safety behind this mask from the whole wide, big, scary world, it's preposterous. And it's continuing to drive so many negative consequences for kids, for the social fabric of our country, and for individuals' own well-being.
I want to read, and maybe there's already a book out there like this. Maybe Drew Holden, you can be the guy. There has to be a really brilliant book that is written, I think, about the psychology of all this and how the fear is instilled. Because, look, I'm not smart enough to explain why political ideology makes such a difference in the way that you react to something that happened 4 years ago. In terms of whether or not it's this, I've always described it as, some people think it's this black smoke that's swirling around like from a cartoon. And it's just, if you have a part of your mask down, or if you're in a bar past 10:45 or whatever ridiculous, or if you're 6 feet apart, not 3 feet apart, that thing's going to just come and get you. But there are still people, I think, like Taylor Lorenz and others out there from the Washington Post, they still think that that's how it works.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, every time we see even the tiniest uptick in COVID cases, people are wanting to bring back out the masks and the distancing and everything else. You know, there was a wave of pieces when Omicron hit in 2022 into 2023 that were telling people about how to find well-fitting masks. This is 2 to 3 years after all of this has already come and gone. And you, I think you really do, though, the political angle is, I think, an important one, because you have people who really just took leave of their sense of reasonability on so many aspects of their life.
And continue to do so. And Drew, I don't know if you and I are going to be around if this ever happens again, and it could happen again, but good Lord, if we don't learn some of the lessons from what happened 4 years ago, God help us, right?
Yeah, seriously. And Mark, I fear we won't, right?
Like,
there's been no second guessing any of these predictions from any of these outlets.
Well, Drew, thank you so much for the thread. I certainly appreciated it. I shared it with the audience. We'll share it again here, but thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk. Really appreciate it. Good stuff.
Pleasure is mine. Thanks so much for having me,
Mark. Take care. I want to get to a couple other things before we talk baseball, because I'm so impressed with the officials at Vanderbilt University down in Nashville, who took a much different tack than many of our friends in academia when it comes to the pro-terrorist protesters. So you had a bunch of students that did essentially a protest sit-in to boycott the divestment and sanctions movement against Israel. The school actually suspended multiple students. Now, what they say is that there was a school officer that was physically assaulted. And they came on campus. They basically tried to invade as they entered a building under construction. And then they just sit down and they're blocking people, like, you know, we've seen this take place on freeways and in other public areas as well. But listen to the audio here, because this is very impressive. You have, now listen to what the students are saying. First of all, they sound like idiots, and there's a black officer that's being harassed here.
And the police officers are standing by like puppets.
Shame on you! Puppets!
Even Jack.
They
can. Yeah.
Who wants to reach
out? You're protecting a terrible man. I hope you know that. You're protecting a terrible man.
And a coward, too.
I think they're talking about the chancellor of Vanderbilt, right?
Oh,
terrible
my gosh.
Man. And the majority of the people that are sitting in this protest, some of whom, by the way, I have to point out, have masks on, they're little snot-nosed, whiny, progressive, spoiled, guilty white kids. That's what they are.
A coward, an absolute coward, who is aiding and abetting a actual genocide. 30,000 people are being killed, sir.
That's what you're protesting.
Show your compassion. Show your morality.
What if it was your kid?
Would you care?
Be your kid.
What if I love that?
Yeah,
what if it was your
what
kids?
If your
what
kids
if it was your kids that were
you.
Being raped by
thank
Hamas
you.
On October 7th and dragged all over the place
thank
after
you.
They parachuted in?
Yep.
This stuff is just unbelievable.
It's nuts.
It will be our kids. You and your kids gonna protect you.
Is a job worth it, sir? Is a job
this is
worth
just,
it?
And your black storm, we're already dealing with this.
32,000 dead.
Yeah, so this is where the black girl starts calling out the African American cop, saying, "Oh, you should be really ashamed of yourself.
You could stand with us right now and be on the right side of history.
But you won't. Shame.
Shame, shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame. 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 Shame.
All right. So at this point, they do the right thing and they send. This is awesome. There's cops there, like the guy who's being harassed. They order some Panera for the cops to help out the cops because they're doing their job.
Good.
They're not letting the food to the kids, and they won't let them pee either because they don't have the right to be there.
Let them pee, let them eat.
So they're chanting, let them pee, let them eat.
Let them pee, let them eat.
Nope, let's
nope.
arrest them instead.
Let them pee,
now,
let them
here, they called 911. Listen to these snowflakes.
Yeah, there's currently a female student who's being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So while you're saying...
I'm a female,
right, so then you should understand. Okay, what you are not hearing is that if she stands up to use the restroom to change her tampon, they are threatening arrest. So it is not an option for her.
Ma'am, you have an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
That is an emergency.
No, do you have an emergency? Not your friend that's inside. Do you have an emergency?
That is my emergency.
I don't remember the time that I needed to have an emergency personally to call 911 for help.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't remember a time when it has to be a personal emergency for me to call 911 for help. I am requesting assistance, medical urgent assistance.
Okay, what I'm telling you.
Urgent.
Okay, so you're telling me your friend in Kirkland needs an ambulance.
She needs...
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's essentially...
Exactly.
That's where the 911 operator...
Does this kid understand she's calling the police?
Apparently not.
I need to know there's someone here who's going to go into, like, toxic...
And we will take care, but we're going to escort them out.
Okay, hold on. She leaves the building, and then what happens?
If we leave the building, right, let's take her back to room and get food. And that's all I can tell you right now.
Oh,
right?
My God.
I mean,
she's going
to...
No, there's no immediate emergency. We're going to be overly dramatic. We shouldn't be there in the first place. None of this would have happened if you just were, you know, minding your own business on campus and not trespassing and trying to shut things down, and you would have been fine, right? You want to do your protest on campus and not block offices and, you know, destroy property and assault people that work for the university? Well, then you can have your freedom of speech. But this crosses the line.
Yeah.
And they made it clear at Vanderbilt. Now, I will say this. As impressed as I am with what Vanderbilt did, I just Googled this afternoon. Of course, the Tennessean and the legacy media, Vanderbilt faces backlash after pulling Israel divestment vote from student ballot. How about an alternative headline? Vanderbilt faces a ton of support from across the country for actually doing the right thing with snot-nosed students.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, 24 hours from now, it'll probably be the, I'm going to say Bottom of the third inning at this point. Cardinals be leading 3-4 to nothing. Tom Ackerman, what do you say about that call? You like it?
I hope the game's over by now.
Well, isn't it? Is it a four? Well, maybe I'm wrong about the timing. I thought it was like a 4 o'clock Central start.
It's a 3:10 game. So hopefully this game is wrapped up and Miles Michaelis fires 7 innings of scoreless ball.
I like that better.
Gio and Helsley lock it down, and the game ends in a 3-0 Cardinals win. How's that sound?
I like your plan better. Here's the deal. you know me pretty well. We've worked together for a long time. I think you would say it's fair to admit that I'm not the most optimistic. I'm not necessarily a glass half full type of guy, right? Okay, that might be short selling that. I'm so nervous about this season, and I'm not very optimistic. Now I want to hear about the good stuff, like Victor Scott and the excitement about that, but. After last season, Tom, and we're not used to that around here, that abysmal of a season, and with older pitchers coming in, I know there's some hope, and you got guys that are going to probably bounce back, but give me some optimism, Tom. I'm begging you this afternoon.
I've never seen a Cardinals team that needs to play a baseball game so badly. This offseason has been going on since June. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
This has been the longest stretch of baseball games that don't matter. I mean, it's time to play,
and
I totally understand. I mean, it is just fueled on itself, one thing after the other, signings, injuries, fans disgruntled. I get it, but they need to play. I mean, they've got to put last year behind them, and the only way to do that is to go out and win. I will say a couple of positives about this weekend. Number one, the Dodgers are very distracted. There's a total circus going on. It would have been without the gambling scandal, but now that Ipe Misuhara has been fired and Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and all the stuff that's surrounding that, it has to be distracting for the Dodgers. That said, they have a very powerful lineup. I will just go series by series. You got to get out of here with a split and then go to San Diego and a manager that probably wants to take your head off and Mike Schilt,
yeah.
And you go there and do what you can against the Padres. And if you can come out of the Dodgers and Padres series with a winning record, let's say they go 4-3, that's a huge step forward for the Cardinals. Then you come home and you kind of get settled in. I think that the team basically goes as pitching goes, and the one thing that they have done well here is they have added some durable arms, and Sonny Gray is one of those. I know that Gray has a hamstring injury, but it wasn't his arm, it wasn't his shoulder, it was a hamstring that he said is totally fine, and it's not about anything other than trying to get out and pitching in games. He doesn't want to be rushed into where he's going to pitch 3 innings for them, then they hand it over to the bullpen. That defeats the whole purpose.
Right.
They brought these pitchers in to go 6 or 7. They have a lot of pitchers who can go 6 or 7. There's no doubt about that. Michaelis can do it. Lynn and Gibson can do it. Gibson looked awesome yesterday against the Cubs. Matt certainly can do it, and he's motivated to show that he's going to be durable and dependable. And then they do have this young gun in Zach Thompson that I think people forget about. He was great down the stretch last year. He's only 26. He throws 5 great pitches. I think that he is going to be a factor here. And then we'll see when Gray comes back if they put Thompson in the bullpen. That makes a very good bullpen even better. They put John King in the minors because there's a door open for Thompson, I think, as a lefty out of the pen if they wanted. Or they could end up having him throw, I guess, at Memphis in the rotation. But my point is they're deep in the bullpen. I think that's a big, big thing. Last year, I know we all point to the starting rotation, but they blew 28 saves last year.
Significant games, right.
Really
even
bad.
If you had half of those, it would make a difference.
Yeah, they'd be right in it. So, and then the other thing is, you will go as your stars go, and they still have two of the best in the business at either corner. Goldschmidt had a quiet spring, but we all know that doesn't matter. As Mike Shannon said, you take spring training stats, wad them up, and throw them in the trash, and you get started tomorrow. So Goldschmidt and then Arenado on the other side is very motivated to have a great season. And you mentioned the kids, and I think that we do have to sort of grow with them. Gorman is ahead of the other ones. Gorman could lead them in home runs again if healthy. Walker's a really good player. I think he will have a very good second year. Wynn and Scott, I think you have to be optimistic, but cautiously optimistic, because it is the big leagues and they're going to have to adjust to it. But it is promising. And, I left out Wilson Contreras, who last year, guy shows up to Jupiter. Hey, I'm not going to participate in the World Baseball Classic. And then where is everybody? I mean, everyone's at the WBC. So I think he got off to a bad start. And I think that, you know, the kind of get to know you year is over, he seems like he's in a really good place. So I think this team is better than the critics say, but I don't think they're a World Series contender just yet. That might be decided at the trade deadline.
You know, this is stating the obvious, and you sort of addressed it, Tom, but getting off to a good start, even if you can go 500 in this first month, even Nolan Arenado and some of these players admitted that it has to. It's human nature. It wears on you when you're not winning, right? They say winning is contagious. The opposite is true as well. So if you can get some confidence early on and get by these injuries and, you know, maybe see some sparks by, I think the fans are excited to see what Victor Scott has to offer for right now in center field. We don't want Dylan Carlson to be too banged up, but I think there's excitement based on what you've been telling us and some of the other folks from Jupiter. We want to see this kid.
Yeah, I feel bad for Dylan because he had a really good spring and actually, you know, took an opportunity and ran with it, led them in RBIs, led them in home runs. He looked good. But, you know, it does create an opportunity for Victor Scott. Now, the Cardinals have a leadoff hitter in Brendan Donovan. He gives you a tough at bat. He is terrific. I think there is stability in this Cardinals lineup, 1 through 5. You go, I'll write it up tomorrow. Donovan, Goldschmidt, Gorman, Arenado, Contreras. And that's a really good 1 through 5. But I got to tell you that sometimes if you want to go win and win big, you need unexpected contributions. And to have a speedster in the lineup like Victor Scott, who can create problems on the base paths for the other team, somebody you have to think about all the time, who could beat out a routine grounder, who can steal bases. He stole 94 last year, who can make great plays in the outfield. That's exciting. And, you know, we saw the Reds with Ellie De La Cruz come out of nowhere and have this phenomenal jolt of electricity for the Reds. Perhaps Scott can provide that. But again, you know, he's only been through Double A. So this is a big leap for him, but he has so much speed and ability. It just, the stars aligned, and unfortunately it was an injury to somebody, but it did create an opportunity for him to show off a little bit in L.A., and that would be pretty fun to watch.
And so how is his defense, and then how would you rate Jordan's glove in right field right now? Because he looked a little shaky, obviously, sometimes last year.
Yeah, Walker's definitely a work in progress. Now, he spent all offseason in Jupiter. He bought a home there, worked with a lot of people, including Jose Oquendo, and now Willie McGee, of course, works with him on his outfield defense. It's getting better, but he's still an average outfielder at best defensively. Offensively, I think he's really good. I think he's sort of untapped in terms of the power he can provide, so you live with it. I think in left field, Donovan's a gold glover, so you're fine there. Victor Scott makes the spectacular plays. I mean, he was a gold glove center fielder in the minors. They don't hand those out per team or whatever. They handed out throughout the entire minor league system. So he was the best center fielder in all of the minor leagues. I saw him dive and make a play, take a hit away. I saw him go over the wall and take a home run away down in spring training. He will get the jump and make great plays. I have no problem with him playing center field. In fact, he could grow into an elite center fielder, and that's what they're counting on from Scott. So defensively, he is their best center fielder. He's actually their best defensive center fielder right now.
Anything else you want to share as we get this season started? I think we're all ready for baseball. And your point about how this has really been going on since last June is very well taken, Tom. I think you're right about that, because why it seems so painful right now.
Yeah, and they were 71-91. And, Mark, quite honestly, they could have been 61-101. I mean, the season was over by the 4th of July. So they tossed the season away. They put a lot of people on the trading block. They added a bunch of youth. But the two things that jump out at me that this team has to be better, actually three. One, they've got to log more innings. We already talked about that. Two, they have to get swing and miss. You know, this ground ball team, that stuff's over. I mean, the shift, you can't shift anymore. So these ground balls that are sneaking through, you got to end that. And you got to get swing and miss and get strikeouts and get through these innings. Then the third thing to me is stability. You know, I like the word flexibility and moving players around, but it's not conducive to winning baseball. You want to write the – look at all the great Cardinals teams in history. You knew who was going to be in the batting order. You knew who was going to be in the lineup. The Cardinals have to get an established starting lineup and trot them out there every day. And, by the way, that's what Ollie Marmol wants. He wants a regular lineup to write every day. So that's what you want to emerge from this team. Cross your fingers that they stay healthy, because they already have – six people on the IL.
What is the Yachty influence right now?
It's not there yet, but, you know, he's available via phone call for Contreras if he wants. He's available if Ollie Marmol wants to. And by the way, Marmol wanted him part of that staff. But, you know, Yachty is transitioning from his playing career. He's taking some time with his family. Of course, he has interest in managing and has been doing that as well. So I understand that, and you give him all the time that he needs. But to know that he's part of this franchise and he's able to advise this team, I think give it time and you'll see him become more of a part of what they do. But right now, you know, we did not see him in spring training, nor did we expect to.
Does my friend Tom Ackerman, who has become an exceptionally good play-by-play announcer, and I mean that sincerely, you're sounding great on these games, going to get to do a little bit more this season?
I appreciate that. Well, yeah, I got to do 5 spring training games on Bally, which was really great. And I will do the White Sox series May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And then for the first half of the season and the second half of the season, I do anticipate doing a few more series and being able to fill in for my pal Chip. So, you know, to get that opportunity has been awesome, not to mention doing some games on radio in spring training was really great, sitting in with Klaibs. So I appreciate that. It has been really a dream come true and a good time had, that's for sure.
Well, listen, let's get it going, Tom. Thank you so much for jumping on here a couple weeks ago. And again, tonight we'll check in with you from time to time. We're all hoping for some better things, especially to start the season to give us some hope. And let's have fun with it, right?
Let's all get a good sleep. Let's get some rest. Let's get up tomorrow and get after it. It's time to get this season started. And it always is a lot of fun. I mean, getting a new baseball season underway feels good. I know that this team has been frustrating, but, man, do they need to play. Absolutely need to play a game.
Going to try to see you at Kegs and Eggs before my show next Thursday. Thank you, Tommy. We'll see you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
See you soon.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Is happening so often that it's incredible, but it's incredible that the United States legacy sports media never ever reports on it whatsoever. Over the weekend, we had a trans-identified male winning, in other words,
a man,
biological male, mm-hmm. winning a U.S. women's national weightlifting competition and breaking records.
He beat everyone.
Figure. Vicky Piper came in first place in the women's 76-kilogram weight category, writing on Instagram that both lifts were competition and personal records. Yeah, because you blew away people that you were dominating because of your biological sex.
That is
so
correct.
So first place in women's, it was in the, beat all the other women in his category with a total of 127, 17 ahead of the second place finisher, Krista Dornbush, who is a biological female. But it's just amazing that it keeps happening over and over again.
It's ridiculous.
And you have these like fringe media outlets that cover it. And then Riley Gaines blasts it out. Martina Navratilova weighed in on this one.
Good.
Because she's pissed.
Of course she is.
So you have one of the biggest tennis stars on the planet from decades ago and still is a pretty significant name in sports. Is she ever quoted? You know, if you would do Martina Navratilova, ESPN, you wouldn't even find a quote on this topic. It'd be like she doesn't even exist. They completely act like that perspective. It's the most stunning thing to me that sports journalism is the way that they
are. They're cowards.
I don't understand it whatsoever.
Yeah.
I really don't get it. How about this? And I have an audio cut of the day, but I wanted to feature a couple other things. In Boston, I love this. This is going to happen here, too. So just so you know, this is a good preview of St. Louis. Having solved all other problems, the leaders there are demanding $15 billion in reparations.
We are coming, as Dr. King said, to get our check.
Organizers from the Boston People's Reparation Commission say they're also following up on their demand on the city of Boston for a $15 billion initial payout to begin the process towards repair and reconciliation to the city's black community.
$5 billion as initial payment around cash payouts, $5 billion around
strengthening our financial institutions, creating a new black bank, $5 billion in terms of addressing issues of the education achievement gap.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the education achievement gap. And they want to throw $5 billion because all the other money that they've thrown at it in Boston and St. Louis has worked so exceptionally well. But again, you know, you have California recommending a reparations board, black residents, because that was the original, you know, let's face it, that was the original Confederate state, wasn't it, California? I think that was one of the first.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So they want every black resident there, because they were all slaveholders in California, let's face it, $1.2 million each, right? $1.2 million
each. Are you kidding me?
It's unreal that this is something that gets... See, think about this for a second, okay? What I just said. We just juxtaposed two things. You have a legitimate story in men taking over women's sports.
Yes.
That concerns parents all across the country. Professional athletes like Martina Navratilova, Riley Gaines, and others, very concerned. Some who are brave enough to speak up, others that aren't because they don't want to get canceled, and I, to a certain extent, understand that. That gets zero coverage, right?
Right.
But reparations, this nonsense that will never happen, the billions of dollars that they're talking about, that's treated like a legitimate news story in California, in St. Louis, and in Boston. It's it's quite stunning when you think about it. But there you go. That's what we live in.
The sports that's the media world won't era. Touch it at all. Nothing. Nothing.
Isn't that stunning?
Yes.
I think it is, too.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, you know, we have a Hall of Fame producer here in Fred Bottomer, but he has not landed me KJP for this show, has he?
Huh, no.
Mark Garrison is a host at WBT Radio in Charlotte. That's another big talk radio station, legendary talk station across the country. And Mark Garrison got KJP.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
That Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
Wait, oh, let me, no. You, Mark, you're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out very in a comprehensive way.
Okay, so she goes on, blah, 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 but then it continues.
Gas prices and grocery prices then. Big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Let's be clear about that.
You have to remember when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening.
You have to remember that when the president walked into this administration, he does not remember walking into this administration. I just thought I'd help out a little.
COVID. There was the economy was in the tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were.
Wait for it. Here we go.
Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to
do. No, they haven't. I just was at Walmart today. They have not.
And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow.
Wow.
She hung up.
Wow. That was it.
She cannot handle real questions. None of that side can handle any kind of real question.
It's super easy to criticize another host, and I don't like to do it very often. And I don't know that he didn't do this, so maybe this is unfair. But look, I would have perhaps, you know, you come at KJP with a question about dementia, she shoots back. Look, I would have had some audio available. I would have had some evidence of the things and the missteps and the things that keep happening and say, look, Karin, my dear, I see you in the press room every day. You try to deny this, but the American people see it on a regular basis. Isn't it a legitimate issue for the electorate to talk about? And then she goes from there. But again, I'm just waiting for the Hall of Famer to land me KJP on this show. He's going to do it.
Okay. No. Click.
You know, the sad part about Missouri and our role in presidential races, I'm just being honest here. In 2008, when I was on KMOX, John McCain called my show.
Because
we were in play. Okay, we were in play. Bill Clinton called Camo X in the 1990s. Missouri is no longer a purple state. It doesn't matter. You're not going to get a lot of action from candidates, unfortunately. KJP's not going to be on the show. I know you're all sad. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.